Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. I'm very disappointed to find out that the $1.3 billion winner will not get $1.3 billion or nowhere even close.
Well, I mean, if they get like half of that, do you think they'll be terribly disappointed?
They get a quarter of it.
Really? Well, wait a second. So you're saying they only get like $330 million? What a shame.
No. They don't even get that. They get about $280 million.
Oh, gosh. Bill, how are they going to make ends meet?
Well, usually you take this end of the rope and this end of the rope, and you bring it around and put them together. You know, you tie a little knot there, you know.
Very clever, yes. I got to tell you, I've invested a considerable amount of money and time buying those silly lottery tickets for Mega Millions, and I feel like the person who won actually took my money.
No, I feel like the lottery took your money.
Well, that's true. But by the way, I said to myself, no more investing my hard-earned money for Mega Million tickets. So I immediately went out and bought Powerball because they're up like $800 million or something like that.
Wasn't that last night? Or is that tonight?
That was last night. I don't know whether they had a winner yet. So,
I still could be a winner in that. I mean, I might have the winning ticket, and then I might not have anything that's...
And if you have a winning ticket, I just want you to know that I always liked you.
You know, I've been your best friend
for years.
How far back does your memory go? I don't know, a couple of years.
Oh my God!
Oh, double that! I've been your friend.
But you know, I do invest in the lottery. You know why? I know I'm not going to win. Although I did win $4 last week.
Ooh!
I know. I went into the lottery place and I said, I'm a winner. And they said, yes. And how did you do in the lottery? I won $4. I said, well, my God, where can I spend that? And
you doubled your money.
I did.
On that ticket.
Yes, I did.
Well, unless you bought all the little extras that go with it.
But you know how much it cost me to do that? You know how much it cost me long term to get that $4 win? Probably a few $100. So. Anyway.
Yeah, long term. And then even just the $2 win, you know, if the ticket was $2, oh, did you want to get the multiplier with it? Oh, yeah, okay, let's see. It's like going to a car dealership and buying a car. Would you like a radio with that? Do you want air in the tires? You know, that's going to be extra. A battery to start the car?
I promise, I don't invest a lot of money in the lottery, just enough. You know, like I think I buy like 3 tickets a week or maybe 6 tickets a week because I invest in both games. So, I lose a few bucks, but I maintain the dream. You know, I can lie in bed at nighttime and I can think, yes, what will I do with my money? Who will I help? You know?
Yeah, the illusion of life. Well, here comes another nightism. Yeah. Life is a lottery.
Yes,
and
it is.
Nobody wins the pull on that ticket. I'm just telling you now.
Basically, you're saying you can't take it with you anyway, right? So
yeah, it's a crapshoot. So anyway,
speaking of crapshoot, boy, I'll tell you, I've been following this
ship?
Bridge. Yeah, this bridge strike in Baltimore, and we're not being told the whole truth. We really aren't. It's sad.
Well, you know, the VDR, which is like the black box on a ship. It went off a couple of times, and then everything's garbled on it, and the cyber attack story that has been confirmed.
The National Transportation Safety Board, they released data on DALI's black box yesterday, and it reveals no closed-circuit TV footage was found.
Yeah.
Sensors were cut off and then turned back on. The voice recorder was garbled because of background noise. Now, I'm just saying it could be nothing, but I got a bunch of Laura Logan audio that I want to play for our audience today because she isn't talking about opinion. This is not opinion. Yeah. This is investigation. She's one of the few reporters on the scene today who still believes in calling sources and digging deep to get a story. It's sad. Yesterday, I called most of the people who work in the news business, they're not reporters, they're repeaters. Repeaters meaning they just repeat something that's been handed to them. They don't go and dig anymore.
They're propagandists.
Yeah, and you know, Bill, the mainstream media has done a great deal to disparage Laura Logan. Laura Logan, if you'll remember, was a 60 Minutes host. She was an Emmy Award-winning reporter. She did many of her reports from battlefields in the Middle East. She is she's got a resume that will choke a horse, as they would say, and she is a good reporter, and she prides herself in that. But the mainstream media turned away from her because she wouldn't follow their storyline. You know, she wouldn't read from their script. And if you don't read from their script, well, they're going to make you look like you've got a problem. And believe me, if you follow Laura Logan, and I'd love to meet the lady someday, but then she'd probably say, what are you doing here? No, she would, you know, she's a busy person, and she's doing a great job. So maybe it's best that I just let her do her work. I'd love to have her as a guest on the show. That's what I'm talking about. You know, because I would have a lot of questions, and we could probably talk forever. She worked at CBS down at on 57th Street, and I worked at 52nd Street. Of course, I probably worked there before she worked there. But the thing is, she has dug deep into this story that about the ship, and she did an update yesterday. It's written down here. It's a little lengthy, and I'll read some of it to you after we play some audio. She was on with Steve Bannon. If you missed this, pay attention because she says a lot of interesting things. Steve Bannon, by the way, in case you're not aware of this, besides being a supporter of President Trump and one of his advisors, Steve Bannon was a Navy officer. You see him now, he's kind of an older guy, a little chubby, you know, kind of scruffy. No, he doesn't. But he used to be a clean-shaven U.S. Navy officer. He knows maritime law, maritime things. He knows about ships. And he is not a believer that things are as they say they are with regard to this accident. Anyway, here's part one of the Laura Logan interview.
Look, as a naval officer, I can tell you, something is not right about this situation. I don't, they got pilots, the most professional guys around. I don't know how they steered it at 8 knots right into the foundational element of the bridge. They could have dropped anchor. They should have had backup systems. You say there may be something. Here's the other thing that's concerned me. Why they run to the mic, had McCabe on this morning on at sunrise on CNN saying it's not terrorism, it's not terrorism, it's not terrorism. It might not be terrorism. Why do you come to the mic right away? These are the type, we need facts. We need empirical evidence. We need an investigation. What is your investigation telling you?
Well, I have a better question for you, Steve. Why are you coming to the mic telling the country that it's not terrorism when your own intelligence agencies are telling you it is? And I know they are, because I didn't make this up. These are not my words, right? I'm talking to people who are on the inside, some who are on active duty, some who are retired, and everyone, literally, from critical infrastructure in Department of Homeland Security to the intelligence agencies, they know there's no other, this is a cyber attack on a critical infrastructure corridor for the United States. This is, you know, for those people who think this is just a river, this is in Baltimore, what does this matter? You don't know anything about what you're talking about. This, the I-94 corridor on the eastern seaboard is literally what connects the north and south. And when I talk about hazardous materials, right, this is a brilliant, well-planned strategic attack on one of the most important supply chains in the United States of America. The only other one is in the western side in California. That's the only one that's busier. And what you have done is you now have shut it down. And when I talk about hazardous materials, what are we talking about here? This is refined fuels, right? This is propane gas. This is diesel. diesel. This is fuel. This is flammable materials. This is oversized loads, nitrogen, chemicals. Everything that you need for your economy to move has literally just been shut down for 4 to 5 years. And how did they do it? They knew that they had to target one of two main anchor points on that bridge. There are two load-bearing pylons that any structural engineer can identify that are on the end of each side of the bridge. These are the ones that are thicker and stronger than anything else on that bridge. And when you hit one of those pylons, when you take that out, the reason you see so much of that bridge collapse instantly is you just brought 50% of the span of that bridge coming crumbling down. And what you don't see beneath the surface of the water, Steve, is absolutely catastrophic. It is a structural nightmare and a logistical nightmare because you have the entire bottom part, the concrete part of that bridge, and you don't know the extent of the structural damage to that, and you won't know it until you pull all of that infrastructure out of there and you get to look at it. And so you're talking 3 to 5 years at best, and what you're talking about here is probably building a new bridge. So what you have effectively done now, you've shut down the I-95 corridor that's above ground, so now you're going to have to go north to New York, you're going to have to go south to North Carolina, and your trucks, your hazardous materials are going to have to go around Baltimore now. They're not going to be able to go through it. And what else did you do? You shut down the sea corridor, the shipping corridor, because now the port is shut down, right? And so all those tankers that are out at sea that have hazardous materials on them, those are going to have to all be rerouted. And why can you not move hazardous materials through the tunnel? Why is this such a big deal? Because they created that bridge because hazardous materials, for example, oversized loads, they don't fit in the tunnel system. Yeah. And there's other loads that are so dangerous that they require a permit. It takes time to get a permit. It costs money to get a permit. It requires an escort, right? You've seen it on the highway sometimes. You've seen when you have these massive oversized loads and they've got escorts all around them, these huge convoys. Well, what do you do on one of the busiest corridors in the United States? You don't shut it down in the day so this can happen. That means you can only move this stuff at night, which automatically impacts the amount of traffic that you can use. The tunnel is going to be overloaded. This is what you call death by a thousand cuts. It is an absolutely catastrophic attack on critical infrastructure, and you cannot see it because a cyber attack is unseen. Just like the attack on 2020 on the voting machine that you cannot see.
Okay, we have much more, so stick around. But she's a smart woman who has really done her homework. And, you know, Bill, I was thinking as I was listening to that, I'm really paying attention to the news because I don't think there's a more important story anywhere than, well, maybe the border, but I think they're connected. This story here should be something that they're following 24/7, and they're doing crap on the news channels.
No, they're not talking about it. Let's talk about, you know, was it a cyber attack? Well, the intel says it was. You talk about the black box, the recorders were down, the video, the audio. You look at that. She talked about the pylons to the bridge. We talked about that yesterday. Yeah. The fact is, it's what you don't see. It's like you've got a toothache, you know. Well, you got a cavity there, but it got into the root, and boy, you know, your root is the problem. And the damage that's down there means you're going to lose the whole thing, probably get an implant. I'm just saying, hey, that bridge is destroyed, and she is right. Did 3, 4, 5 years. But
go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, well, no, I was going to say, I look at this like, what did we do to stop the Germans, like with their tanks from rolling? We cut off their fuel supply, right?
Mm-hmm.
This port is one of the big 17, the big six in the nation. It might be more important than what we really think or believe. And once again, America got caught just like in Pearl Harbor with its pants down. Our pants are down around our ankles, ladies and gentlemen, whether you like it or not, and we are about to get it where we don't want it.
What they're already trying to do now is they're trying to talk about the problems with the bridge.
They're blaming it on the bridge.
The bridge did nothing wrong. The bridge was there. It was doing its job. It didn't collapse by itself. It was rammed by a 100-ton battering ram, and it was rammed. Go ahead.
There is no way to sit there and build an abutment or a bridge that is going to sit there with its support foundations that can take something that you can't predict. In the 70s, when it was built, they're going, well, it was built for the stuff at the time, but there was no ships that big. Okay, why are we allowing that? Because basically they were saying, well, it's not deep enough, it's not this, and it's not that, then why the hell are we letting that ship come in here in the first place? It's number one. But number two, just like, Bannon was in the Navy, you know, I wasn't in the Navy, my brother was. As a matter of fact, my brother was a helmsman. And, you know, there's a lot of things, and he was a helmsman back in the 60s and the 70s. And he's 11 years older than me, but the point is, they had protocols and safety calls way back then that go far beyond anything that we're talking about here in these ships.
Mm-hmm.
That ship should not have hit that, you know, that support foundation.
There's
period.
a lot to talk about, and we have a lot more audio. So here's part two, what she said.
Are your sources telling you that they feel there's enough information out there that it is a cyber attack, and is it a state actor or non-state actors?
100%, yes. They are saying that this is a cyber attack. You didn't have a terrorist group board the ship and commandeer it and take it over. You had somebody hack into the systems on board the ship, the GPS system, and reroute that ship. They did it in the middle of the night because they didn't want the crew to be awake. They didn't want everybody to be on full high alert. They wanted everybody to be asleep and you trying to wake people up and rouse people, because when I spoke to one individual who has, let's just say he worked in Baltimore for many, many years and was there when that bridge was opened. He knew when he looked at the security camera video of the harbor, the long version, the 7 minutes, he knew from the start of that video when he looked at that ship that it was not in the channel. You need to be in the channel to make that turn, to have any chance of making that turn. So now you're traveling. That is a river that flows pretty quickly, Steve, even under normal circumstances, right? And at a certain point, you're committed. That ship is heavy, the load is heavy, the water flowing at a certain speed, you've got very little room to maneuver. So at a certain point, there was absolutely nothing that they could do to stop that ship from the course that it was on, because they were not in control of it. And they had all of these other factors coming into play. So when terrorism and counterterrorism experts look at this, when people who know critical infrastructure, there's a number of different people that I've spoken to, cyber people, when they look at it, they know exactly what they're looking at. And so it's extraordinary that anybody could come out now when they haven't had time to do an investigation, when I know for a fact that they're getting people inside their agencies that are telling them what they're telling me, and they're making public statements that completely contradict what anybody who knows this terrain, who knows it, and I don't just mean the physical terrain, I mean the cyber terrain and the terrorism terrain and and the critical infrastructure terrain and all of that. I mean, I've talked to people whose job after 9/11 was to identify, if you were Al-Qaeda and you wanted to capitalize on that attack, how would you do it? They were the people that came up with the term death by a thousand cuts. And what you're looking at now is exactly what they feared terrorist groups would do to really exploit the advantage that they had after 9/11. Because you are bringing the United States to its knees step by step from within.
Death by a thousand cuts. That's Laura Logan. We have one more piece in a second or so, but... she said it was absolutely 100% a cyber attack.
We need to say one thing about that. When you say a cyber attack, you know, you're going, well, these kids on the internet that go out there and do that, well, there might be young people that are computer savvy, but this cyber attack is traced right back to China, and not just, bad actor people that are not part of the government. This is a branch of their government. So this is like when Pearl Harbor was bombed. You got to put it in perspective. It doesn't matter your weapon of choice. What matters is who actually is behind the attack. And even the government has said, well, yeah, we, the cyber attack, and they traced it right back to to China, to Beijing, or I'll say, but you know, either way, it is part. It is the head of that snake is controlling it.
Here's what I'm a little concerned with. Well, first of all, in World War II, a lot of very smart people believe that they actually had a heads up about there being a possibility of an attack at a place like Pearl Harbor. They weren't really sure it was going to be at Pearl Harbor specifically, but they had information that they were privy to. I mean, I'm talking about our government, that the Japanese were going to attack somewhere in the Pacific, and they did, of course.
There was a lesson that should be learned from World War II.
Well, I think we, when all is said and done, if we ever have an honest government again, maybe we won't know, because maybe it'll serve no purpose. But I do believe that reporters like Laura Logan, you know, she's got some deep sources here. She's talking to intelligence people who are, she said it, who normally wouldn't be talking to her, because they're in intelligence right now, and they're saying,
and they're probably concerned.
Yeah, they're saying this is an attack.
Well, what I was going to point out in World War II, when we were attacked by Japan, on Pearl Harbor, now the prevailing, you know, the people over there sitting there going, we need to finish the job. We got them with their pants down. Let's just go ahead and move on in and go to San Diego. Had they done that, you know, we say, well, you know, we had those three aircraft carriers, whatever it was, the Enterprise and whatnot, that were happened to be out. They, by themselves, were not enough to do it alone if we didn't have, you know, stuff. And say, had they moved on to San Diego, we would have been done.
But the problem they had, Bill,
tech forward,
the problem they had in World War II is that it was logistics. The Japanese were stretched thin. Even to attack Pearl Harbor, the Japanese were stretched to their limit because they were way out. Their fleet was way out. And if they were to go even further to our coast, then they would have been extended.
Yeah.
They would have been really vulnerable themselves. So, I mean, and they wouldn't have just been attacked, by the way. If they attacked our coast, they may have put the port out of business, but they also had Army air bases, and they had other places that would have responded. Whereas with Pearl Harbor, they knew basically what they were hitting because they could see it. There were no carriers in port. So they knew that they were missing some of the fleet, but they had all the battleships, the Arizona, and things like that. They knew they had them.
But now with cyber attacks, you know, you don't have the logistic problems. You know, it's done from a little bunker somewhere in China or anywhere. It's like we fly the drones. Yep. And so you're going, okay, they're not going to just sit there and say, well, that'll teach them. You know, they're going to finish this job. What's next?
The third part of her interview with Steve Bannon, it's a little long, but it's worth listening to. She kind of sums things up. Listen.
You know, I really want to emphasize, Steve, strongly, we are in an undeclared war right now. And these are not my words. I'm not making this up. This is coming from people who really know and who ordinarily would never, ever talk to me. But we've reached a point in this city. I think, you know, if you look at the quote of one of the intelligence analysts that I spoke to, right, I'm just going to read it to you very, very briefly, okay? It's not long, and it really sums it up. He said, they have figured out how to bring us down. As long as you stay away from the teeth of the U.S. military, you can pick the U.S. apart. We are arrogant and ignorant, a lethal combination. Obama said they would fundamentally change America, and they did. We are in a free-fall ride on a roller coaster right now. No brakes, just picking up speed. And I would urge people, watch very carefully the people that tell you that this attack doesn't matter. Stop following them on Twitter. Discount everything they say because they're either totally ignorant and useless, or they are a plant. And there's a lot of Anons out there, right? And I follow a lot of Anons, and I appreciate and respect the work that they're doing. But we're in a moment of truth now. We have very, very little time. When you start to shut down, you know, hazardous materials and the shipment of fuel, you know what that means. It means everything goes up. It means food goes down. You know, the access to food and critical infrastructure, that means that goes down. Prices go up. This is catastrophic. catastrophic for the American people and it's catastrophic for this country. But it is a financial and economic attack. If you're not going to see tanks rolling down the street, stop looking at the type of, you know, conventional war and saying to yourself, well, if I don't see this, then it means we're okay. If people need to understand what they're looking at. And for those people who say, well, you know, the FBI, isn't it interesting? Christopher Wray just put this big counterterrorism guy, you know, he put him in charge of the FBI office of Baltimore just yesterday. And this is the guy that's out in front of the cameras already. Well, isn't that amazing, right? Do you believe in coincidences? I don't. I don't believe in coincidences anymore. None of this happens by chance. This happens by design. And the problem that we have is that people in power in this country are complicit in the breakdown of American infrastructure and America's defenses. And Steve, this is one thing that's really important for people to understand. If you step back from this for one single moment, you will notice a pattern developing here. When we left behind $80 billion of equipment in Afghanistan, nobody said we had to do that. There was no one with a gun to the administration's head saying, get out of Afghanistan by this date. They said, oh, we made a deal with the Taliban. Oh, wait a minute. You made a deal with a bunch of terrorists? You're the world's superpower. You chose a timeline and you chose an exit that resulted in handing $80 billion of advanced military equipment to your enemies. Well, what did that do? It reduced the advantage that America had on the battlefield because you narrowed the gap by giving them technology that spent years, cost the taxpayers hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, to develop. You gave that to your enemies. What did the Taliban do? They gave it to Russia. They gave it to China. They gave it to Iran. They gave it to whoever they needed to do to reverse engineer it and figure out how to use it. Then what do you have? Years later, remember when under Obama, when the drone went down, there was a stealth drone that went down over Iran, and the Obama administration chose not to recover it. Well, I know people who were on a team of American intelligence operatives doing other work. They were on the ground in Iran. They were literally within less than an hour away from that drone. They had it within arm's reach. They could have gone and recovered it. And they were told to stand down. The Obama administration left that stealth technology in the hands of the Iranians. Fast forward years later, what do you have happening in Iraq? Oh, you have an attack on a U.S. base where a number of U.S. soldiers died and it's not detected on the radar? Oh, yeah, because you were using a stealth drone that you reverse engineered. So this has been going on for a very, very long time now. It started under Obama. It was interrupted by Trump and it was continued under the Biden administration. I know somebody else who was in USASOC who was horrified when he was seconded to the State Department to find that we had turned over satellite monitoring systems that were our counter-nuclear proliferation technology. The guy running that program in the State Department was playing cards on his computer, and he was ordered to stand down by his superior officers. There's not a direction that you can look in, Steve, where we have our leaders, people in power, have been systematically dismantling the defenses of the United States of America. And this attack is a wake-up call. Open your eyes and realize what you are facing, because they cannot afford for this election to take place. They cannot afford for Donald Trump to come into power. And there is absolutely nothing they will do. There was nothing, they will stop at nothing to prevent that from happening. And Donald Trump is just a life raft. This is not about one man. You can't gamble everything on one man and think he's got the power to fix it all. This is so much bigger than just Donald Trump. But he's a life raft. And without that life raft, you have no chance.
Wow, Laura Logan. Okay, there's an up, there's an update, Bill, that she posted this morning on X. And if you got a second, I just want to read it so you can comment about it. Baltimore update. Analysis from specialist in predictive behavioral analytics, counterterrorism, hazardous materials, maritime attacks, cyber, national security, and intel. This is their view, she says. Based on their training and experience, they believe this was two types of operation. Number one, penetration testing, where they are probing slash testing to identify vulnerabilities in our responses and defenses. And number two, a shaping operation to set the conditions and prepare the battlefield for a potential future event. The concern is that other critical infrastructure disruptions slash hits Recently, that appeared to be independent, isolated events may, and she has may in capital letters, not be. For example, the Ohio chemical disaster, train derailments, fires at food processing plants, etc., when taken in isolation, do not appear to be that significant, but when taken together, could indicate shaping or stacking operations that are paving the way for a bigger event where they do any number of these types of operations together that could potentially paralyze the U.S. So the critical question our government should be answering right now is this. When will they trigger a multiple episode that causes the paralysis effect? When will we see something that encompasses all of these types of things at one time? And by the way, her update continues on for a bit more. I'm not going to read any more because, but you get the gist.
Well, go ahead. Yeah, we're talking the sum of all evil, but I got the bad news on this because we're talking cyber attack. So the quick answer to that is, well, okay, you know what? Maybe we got to shut down the internet. We invented the internet. Let's just be honest about it. We invented the internet. We invented our ultimate doomsday machine. What is the internet? It's millions upon millions of computers. Your computer, Jim, is part of the internet. Yeah, you can shut it down. It's just one in a string of tens of millions. Mine I could shut down, but that's not going to do it. In order to shut down the internet, you would have to simultaneously cut the power to every country
Here's
in the
problem.
World. You'd have to cut the power on the planet.
Here's the problem, Bill. I'm sure that there are computers somewhere that won't allow you to do that. The computers won't allow you
power.
To do that. Yeah. They won't allow you to shut systems down.
And there's so many satellite links and different kinds of links out there that are, they've drawn the number to our dance card, and this is not going to be a fun dance.
Well,
this is a dirty dance. And
you heard what she said. She said that each of these things, the bridge collapse, East Palestine, the train derailment with the chemicals, all of those things individually, no big deal. But when you put them all together, and you and I have talked about this many, many, many times. Before other people have talked about this, we have been on this, where we talked about the food processing plants. We talked about the petroleum fire in Texas, the pipeline that caught fire. It was billowing smoke all throughout the panhandle area of Texas, and nobody in the damn media is following it. And the border bill, who in their right mind would allow the border to collapse like it's collapsing and let it continue?
Well, it's all coming from one administration. I mean, she pointed out Obama. So let's talk about Obama and let's talk about fire starters. Usually a fire starter always returns to the scene of the crime. They want to watch it burn. They want to see stuff. Is Obama an agent? And did he foretell this coming up when he did his little movie with his wife that was out a while ago?
Oh, my God, you
ships ran
that.
Aground, and the plane started dropping out of the sky, and everything started going wrong, and we're all sitting there watching the world blow up.
Bill.
Did he not sit there and create this mess and give away technology and everything? And he is a foreign agent, and he was sitting there. He started the fire, and so he sat there and made that movie to sit there and watch us burn.
I am glad that you mentioned that because I desperately wanted to mention that. My wife actually reminded me of this. But that movie that Obama produced.
She and I think alike then.
But, yes. That movie that Obama produced, it had a tanker in it. It had a ship in it. And the ship was one of the problems. That was one of the issues in the movie. It lost control. The ship ran aground. This big tanker ran aground because it had been hijacked by some, another force and controlled by another force other than the people on the ship. So we kind of poo-pooed that, but isn't that what some people believe happened to the ship the other night in Baltimore?
I don't just believe it. I would say beyond a shadow of a doubt from everything that I read, I absolutely, positively, 100% know that it is a fact.
You know what else is coming out this month?
What?
This month, April. I believe his other movie that they're producing called Civil War. But see, here's what the deep state love to do, Bill. Have you noticed this? They love to telegraph what they're doing. They love to kind of, in your face, let you know that something's... I mean, Obama in 2008 said, we're on the verge of fundamentally changing the country as we know it.
Who is changing the country?
He said...
Mr. Obama?
Yes.
Explain who you're working for.
He didn't have to, Bill, because the sycophants... Yeah. The sycophants out there who were in the crowd dutifully, like trained seals, they applauded and cheered him, and they liked him because he was young and he was a handsome guy, and oh, he's going to do this and he's going to do that. He knew exactly where he was and what he was doing, and look where we are now. We are on the verge. People don't want to believe this. I'm sorry. You have to pay attention. Please pay attention. We're on the verge of some very bad things.
What's the timeline?
Yes.
What's the timeline?
You tell me what the timeline is.
Well, they say that China is preparing for war. They're building up their nuclear arsenal like no other time before.
Right.
Obama's telegraphing his bad. They say 2025 is when they're ready. I say it's going to be beforehand but maybe they're building up to, but in 2025, Biden's budget disarms the United States. Won't be ready.
We're at the timeline. We're at the end of the road now, because you heard Laura Logan saying it's true. They cannot afford Trump getting into office, and like she said, it's not just one person. He is a representative of a movement of tens of millions of people who believe as he believes. And they're just waiting. But see, they want to slap us down. They want to discourage us. They want to slap us down. They want to have us become dejected. And that can't happen. If you want to live in a free country, if you want to recover this great nation, you've got to stand tall.
Yeah. What's going on in Haiti right now?
Well, they're having a civil war.
Political Basically, elites ready to form unelected transitional council while police and militias launch decapitation strikes, killing people.
What's happening in France and in Europe right now? The farmers are again essentially rioting around the EU building with their tractors. They're spraying the police with liquid manure. They are on the verge of something worse. You know,
did the AI tell us yesterday in that story that it wrote?
Oh, my God. And I should point out, Bill, that the AI, it doesn't just make it out of thin air.
No.
It actually scans the internet instantly and gets a feel as to what's really going on. It is a representation of what's really going on.
Yeah, you know there's a, I guess, a line from a movie, The Sum of All Evil. This is the convergence of all that sum. Yeah. Of all the evil, it's coming. It's intersecting now. They're all meeting.
Bill, I got to ask you again. Do we make it to the 2024 election?
Well, does life go on to 2025? I mean, next year.
No,
we're
done. Do you think we're going to have an honest election in November? I hear every pundit out there still talking like, well, if Trump does this, he'll have a great deal of success, and the polls say, and I keep reminding myself, the polls last time were terrible. They were off big time in the 2020 election. Go ahead.
Look, 2024, I don't think we're going to make it. Do I think that bad things are going to happen? Yeah, I absolutely do. I think that this is the first of many more little coincidences to where it's going to become obvious. And I think one or two more events like that or close to the American population, even the Democrats, can't be that dumb. If they are, then we deserve everything that we get. If we are that damn stupid, then you know what? I'm going to defend myself and, you know, protect myself, I should say, and my family. But, you know, if you're going to sit there and, you know, watch them douse gasoline on you and throw a match on you, well, you know, that's
have
your
we
right.
even been told, Bill, what caused the East Palestine, Ohio derailment?
No, no.
Right. So we still to this day don't know what caused that. We don't
know
what caused the food processing plants to catch fire for no good reason. We don't know what caused that pipeline in Texas to blow up. We never were told any follow-up. We are being told, Bill, by the court in Texas that the federal appeals court issued a ruling yesterday that said, Texas, you cannot detain the illegals who are coming across because we don't believe what's happening is an invasion. Three judges in robes, two of them were appointed by, I believe, Obama. One of them, the dissenting vote, by the way, the one who voted against this ruling, was a Trump-appointed judge. But the two that carried the day yesterday said, it's not an invasion. Are they looking at the same video that you and I see every day? Because
it's not an invasion if it was an invitation.
Well, that's a very interesting point, because Biden did say, come on down. He said, come on over. No big deal.
And I want to connect the dot on something here, that or connect the lines between the dots. A story that you loved for a long time, and we kind of forgot about it, was all that that fertilizer, explosive fertilizer, 60 tons of it, was it?
Oh.
No.
Yeah, the ammonium nitrate, I believe
it
was.
The ammonium, it was more than that, actually. Yeah. But, yeah, that was. And whereabouts did they discover that it was missing?
From a train.
And where was the train when they discovered it?
Help me with this. It's been long ago.
It went through Texas, and it was down in the Arizona-Nevada area when they discovered it.
Yeah.
So that's when it was missing,
down
there close to the border where the illegals are coming across.
Yes.
And we know that there are military-age men.
Yeah.
Just saying, it's a weird coincidence.
But they've still, to this day, not told us if they recovered any of that ammonium nitrate.
It was all off the train.
And if you remember correctly, Bill, it wasn't just ammonium nitrate. It was weapons-grade ammonium nitrate. There's a difference, I guess, between agricultural fertilizer and weapons-grade ammonium nitrate. And that's what it was. And they just made it sound like nothing to see here. Don't worry about it.
They said, there had to be a leak in it, and it just poured along the track as the train made its thing from Minnesota over wherever it was. Well, then, you know what? If it was fertilizer, there should be a nice little green line that connects the dots between departure and where they discovered it gone. And I'm sitting there going, no, there was no leak. The leak was when they took it off the train.
Yeah. No, and trust me, Bill, you'll notice the story disappeared. It literally disappeared, as did the story about all of the food processing plants that we've talked about that have just faded off the news pages and disappeared. They want this bridge story to be old news within days.
Well,
trust me.
The other lid that's coming off the barrel is that of stealing the election. Oh, Bill, you're not going there again. Well, the woman charged with voter fraud in Wisconsin was also involved in the 2020 election night absentee ballot flash drive scandal. So two things that were going on with, you know, fake votes there. And she was a Democrat operative, by the way. So you're sitting there. Things are starting to come out to show that not maybe, but in a lot of instances, things were stolen, and you had Obama appointees that sat there and said, this is all fake, nothing to see here, you know, it's fake news. You can only keep the lid on something so long.
Well, speaking of keeping the lid on, this goes back maybe a year and a half. There was a lot of talk on the internet about pedophiles and about pedophilia, you know, with the Jeffrey Epstein case. That was just a little bit of the story. If you follow what was happening on the internet, and they were talking about people that you would shrug your shoulders and say, that's not true. That can't be. Well, all of a sudden, things are starting to happen, like with Sean P. Diddy Combs, you know? I still don't know whether he was on that airplane in Antigua, His plane flew there, but they're not saying whether he was on the plane. I would submit, why would you fly the plane there for no reason? You know, I mean, you had to be carrying somebody. The boss had to be on it. They arrested his two boys, his two sons, I believe in Los Angeles, put them in handcuffs. Now, I guess lawyers will say, well, they really weren't arrested. They were detained. Okay, fine. You call it what you want. Also, they're talking about Prince Harry. Yeah, that Prince Harry. He has been he's been named in the complaint as being connected to Sean P. Diddy and be involved in some way. I don't believe he's been named as an actual, you know, somebody that the charges are being brought against, but just having your name on the document. It says the court documents filed in the U.S. last month do not suggest any wrongdoing on Prince Harry's part. He is not a defendant and is named once in the 73-page document, but he's named. I mean, I wouldn't want my name in a 73-page pedophile document, would you? And it also says to me that there may be more to come. You know, if you're named in the first document, what's coming down the road? I've heard, Bill, that this is just the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot more to this story that is going to come down the road. So,
it's pretty scary what's going on. And
but it's all part. You wonder, these guys are supposedly all connected to that deep state that we hear about, you know, the people in the background, the subculture that you and I aren't privy to. I know there are a lot of listeners who shake their head going, oh, the deep state. But there is a deep state. You know, when you look at our system, every 4 years or every 8 years, we change our administration, our presidency. We have someone new sitting in office. And because we're honest, good people in this country, we kind of believe, we kind of think that a new system is in place, okay? Things are going to, but nothing really ever changes. There's still a group of people, a large group of people in D.C. who never get removed. They're always there. They are the ones who are really in power. They are the ones who control all the levers, and those are the people who are running the deep state.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. So who is going to be the next superpower? Because it's apparent that we are going to get flushed down the drain. Is it going to go back to a long time, what once used to be a superpower and was held at bay for the longest time, but they are running free will willy-nilly now? China?
I don't think China has. I think that they think they have a chance, but I don't believe. I'm not giving up on us just yet. I don't believe that we're going to be flushed down. I think that we are just about at a tipping point. You know, in Japan during World War II, I think it was Yamamoto who said after they were celebrating the attack on Pearl Harbor, he shook his head and said. They said to him, well, you don't seem very excited, General. And he said, I'm afraid that we have awakened a sleeping giant. And I do believe that is the case here. I think that the sleeping giant, meaning the populace, meaning the good people in this country, are just now starting to wake up. You know, you and I, Bill, follow.
Are we diluting the blood of the population, the sleeping giant?
But you and I follow the news every day. It's in our life's blood. We pay attention. But so many people in this country do not pay attention. So many people are just trying to make a living. They're plumbers, they're electricians, they road workers, construction, doctors, lawyers who get up in the morning, go do their work and are concerned with their patients or their jobs or their performance. And they come home at night and they're tired and they don't want to look at politics. All they want to do is watch a movie or something, some mind-numbing program on television and go to bed because they got to do it again the next day. But right now, because of what's happening in our country, because of the economic situation, the fuel situation, because of these crises like the bridge collapse in Baltimore, people are starting to wake up and they realize, wait a second, the people who are in charge of protecting us, you and me, the people who are in charge of protecting our families, they're not protecting us. They're supposed to be guarding our borders, yet they're waving them in. And then they're turning to the cameras and saying, aren't I doing a great job? Shouldn't you vote for me again? You know, it doesn't make sense to a lot of people right now. But the news media, they are complicit, too. They're trying to sell you on that non-performing creep who is doing all this dastardly stuff. They're trying to say he really is. Don't look at his image. Don't look at him shuffle or mumble. He's really doing a terrific job, isn't he? And you know what, that other guy, because that other guy makes a lot of sense. That other guy is going to do things like maybe straighten the news out and get our country back on the straight and narrow, put us back on course. You don't want that because, well, that's, look at what happened in NBC, Bill. We talked about this mm-hmm. yesterday. Can you imagine having worked in a broadcast facility where the staff turned around and said, you hired who? And on the air, can you imagine if we went on the radio and said, you hired that morning guy to do a, and criticized the program manager and general manager for doing that? They would have had you and me and whoever did the criticism out the door.
Well, I worked in broadcast. Anything can happen, as you did too. So I've actually worked in that scenario a couple of times, and one time about me, one time about a lot of people. So it is a crazy business.
Yeah,
but generally speaking, if somebody came in and started doing things or saying things right out of the get-go, especially when I was in charge, I'd sit there and there would be a powwow in my office, and that powwow never ended pleasantly for the perpetrator. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could never turn around in any of the stations I worked in. If management made a decision, maybe adjust the format or hire a new controversial staff member, you had to go along with it because you were part of the team and they were the boss. They mm-hmm. were the boss. And NBC proved, by the way, the other day that the real bosses at NBC, they're not the general manager or the president of the network, or those people are really kind of insignificant. Yeah, they worked the deal with Rona Romney McDaniel. They said to Rona, we're going to give you $600,000 to be a contributor. She said, fine, I'll be there. She showed up for work. She did one show, Meet the Press, and the children that work at that network started had a hissy fit. Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski, Kirsten Welker, who else? Chuck Todd. All these people were having a fit on camera, complaining about their bosses and the boss's decision. Man, you couldn't do that in the old days. And I worked in broadcasting in the old days.
I would have fired the entire staff.
Absolutely.
I don't think I would have even said anything. I would have just sat there when they
Absolutely.
Got off the air. There would have been a memo in their box, and there would have been a guard right there sitting there saying, get your stuff and get the hell out of the door.
And, Bill, they wouldn't have had to pay their contracts off because they would have had a case for these people disparaging, they're doing harm to the network. I'm sure there's a clause in their contract somewhere that says that you can't disparage the network, you know, the company that's paying your bills. And, you know, when you have Chuck Todd calling out his bosses on Meet the Press, holy smokes, I'm looking at this thing going, we're living in dystopian times. This is crazy stuff. This is nuts. You know, this is not the broadcasting that I worked in because, like you said, they would have been packing their bags. They wouldn't have had time to take off their microphones. They would have been out the door. And like you said, you would have had security escort them. I like that too, Bill.
Oh, yeah. You would have had security right there for them. And, you know, it's like, hey, you know, nothing personal, but it's personal. Get out of here. And that's just the way it is because they made it personal, and they did. And actually, you know, but what they did, they hurt the network because the network succumbed to them. They hurt themselves because people have seen it, and people are talking about that. And they realized what little, I'm not going to say that word, so just little babies they are.
Yes. Hey, you know, RFK picked his vice presidential candidate yesterday. I never heard of her. Her name was Nicole Shanahan, and I did some research. Nicole Shanahan, I guess, is the ex-wife of one of the founders of Google, and apparently she is worth trainloads of money. She's worth a lot of money, and a lot of people are saying that it was the choice was made because she can fund the campaign. But a lot of people are also saying because she is so far to the left that he has essentially blown his candidacy out of the water if he had any chance. Also, Bill, a lot of people are saying that the attraction she is to the left, and that's going to hurt Biden, not Trump. No one is going to vote for RFK now on the right because this Shanahan is so much of a leftist. So
Well, okay. Who would be saddled up to the left party, the extreme leftist?
Well, the progressives, the communists, the socialists. Who would be saddled up? You tell me. I always feel like you ask me questions like this, and no, I feel like I'm in class again, and I haven't studied.
No, I'm not doing that. I'm just kind of pontificating.
Okay.
Well, I'm just wondering if maybe you got the deep staters out there going, we don't want mainstream Democrats. We want these lefties here, or something like that.
Well, a lot of people are thinking that essentially, you want to go really deep state.
Let's go ahead.
Really conspiracy. A lot of people are thinking that.
Let me get my carrots. We're going down the hole, right?
It's obvious that RFK Jr. is not going to win the presidency because he's polling right now at between 11 and 13%. Okay? So, I mean, he's not going to win the presidency with those kind of numbers. And people are saying, oh, my God, he had Tulsi Gabbard as a potential candidate. She would have been much more of an attractive vice presidential choice than Nicole Shanahan. But some people believe that that RFK Jr. may be in cahoots with Donald. And essentially, this is an intentional move on the part of the people on the right to get, get a candidate who will draw numbers from the left who will water down Joe's vote. But see, there's a part of me that just thinks that no matter what the left...
Is he hurting his name, though?
Well...
Is he sacrificing his...
Who, RFK?
Yeah.
Well, it depends. I mean, let's say hypothetically he does this and it... Let's say it waters down Biden's, vote, and makes it easier for Trump to get in, and then Trump turns around and says, "I'm going to appoint RFK Jr. to be the head of the EPA or something like that." And maybe then he might explain what RFK was doing. I mean, they may come out after the election.
There would have to be a big unearthing of all the, rooting out all the evil. To where you can say, okay, now we can come clean. Here's what's been going on. There's something going on. Are we ever going to be privy to it?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good question.
I mean, Laura Logan is doing her research. She would probably even say, well, yeah, there's something big at play here. But if anybody being honest, we may never know. And maybe we don't need to know. But then again, we're in that weird situation. We don't need to know, but we do need to know.
We do need to know. We need to know what's going on, big time. And we're not getting the truth right now.
We handle the truth?
I think we have to. Movie. We don't have any option anymore. You heard Laura Logan say she follows Anons, but she said the time has come when you have to kind of get serious now. She doesn't follow all Anons. She said there are some Anons that she follows. And Anons, by the way, are just anonymous posters who have interesting stories. But the left will make it sound like they're a bunch of people who wear court jester suits and do strange dances in the dark. I mean, the left will make it sound like Anons are loons, all right? And they're just, some of them are, because there's also a theory out there that there's a movement on the part of the deep state to water down the importance of these people by putting people in this category who are not honest. You know what I'm saying? Having false flags out there to make it sound like the whole group is nuts.
They're lying to us, is what you're saying?
Wow. Yes, exactly. But Laura Logan said in that audio we just played a little while ago, it's time to stop. You know, we haven't got much time. We're running out of time, is what she said. We have to get very serious now. That's what, and I thought to myself, that if she says anything in that whole 13-minute audio piece that we just played, that may be the most important thing. We're at a point right now where we haven't got a lot of time left to consider. We've got to make up our mind, are we on this side or that side? And if we're on the side of patriots, are we going to act like patriot? You know, I don't mean, by the way, that we go out and cause civil disobedience. I do not mean that. But there are
don't worry, the news will say that we're doing it because somebody somewhere will do something and, you know, carry an American flag or do something along that line. Hell, I saw a thing on, you know how sometimes, not like TikTok, but just these random videos out there. And there was a guy sitting there, and I don't know if it was an illegal or what. They're going, this is what we think of you. And he had his dirty boots on, and he had an American flag, and he was trampling on it.
Oh, yeah.
And he was going, yeah, take that. America is under attack, and...
Bill, I saw a video where, you know, we're approaching Easter. So you know what they have appointed, they made Easter Sunday? Transgender Day. Seriously, this Easter, they're trying to take away from the importance of the holiest day in Christianity, and they're calling it Transgender Day. You know, I mean, this is the world that we're living in. I saw a video where some guy went up to there was a guy from who was not he wasn't preaching, but he was talking about the Word of God, and mm-hmm. some angry leftist came up and said, "I don't believe in your God. I don't believe in your Son of God." I mean, it was almost like the guy was being confronted by the devil. Okay, it was almost like this guy who was talking about Christianity, who was a believer, was almost being confronted by the devil. And I thought, you know, maybe he was. Maybe what we're seeing right now, you know, we don't want to believe it because it seems so far out. It seems so preposterous. But maybe all of what we're seeing right now is, if you could see behind the veil, that curtain you talk about, it is a battle between good and evil. You know, behind that curtain, we are seeing God and the devil going at it, you know. And I don't know about you. I stand with God myself. I mean, not that I can do much of anything at my age, but except maybe talk. And we're doing that.
I think in reality, when I've, you know, because you think about different things. You think about life, especially if you've been on death's door, you know. But, you know, maybe, you know, the reality is, you know, we're all at battle. There's you know, the good and the evil. You know, it's a long
I think it's not coming down the road.
Everybody has a God. They say, you know, what they're saying is they don't believe in your God. But there is some form of God to everybody, whether they want to admit it or not.
You mean atheists have a God?
They may not realize it, but yeah, they do.
Their God is atheism. They are, mm-hmm. by being followers of no God, that is their God. That is their theology.
That is their theology, but they worship something. They worship nothingness, but then where do they get? It's a you long know, way to go on
but,
that
but
one.
But I got
to
tell you, by the
take
time.
A couple of shows.
But they, well, that's, hey, it's our show.
We got nothing but time for shows, I can true. Tell you that.
Yeah, but you know, they say if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, odds are it's a duck.
You know,
and there's no, what the other thing else to say is you never find an atheist in a foxhole. Also, at the end of life, many times there are conversions on the deathbed. Well, all of a sudden, people find God as they are slipping away.
There are people out there, you know, it's funny, in everyday life, you got people that sit there and they denounce God. And they'll, you know, the question, you know, you could question Biden, his faith, and I do, but that's me. And I don't know that anybody should question anybody's faith. So, you know, that makes me wrong to do that. But
I think, you know, you're not wrong, but I question his faith, too. Big time.
All right, but you know, but then he's up there talking about, you know, we had first responders here on the scene. Thank God. What? But then again, you're challenging religion on another breath. you know.
Yeah, then, or they'll tell you he's a practicing Catholic, and then he does everything. Yeah. Everything he does is against the Catholic, the tenets of the faith.
How much do you want to bet if Soros has a painful death and just before he goes, he doesn't cry out in loudly or muddled, "Oh God"?
Yeah, but it happens all the time. They call them deathbed conversions.
Well, are they conversions to who we call God, or
I don't know what they could be. You have to
a dark god.
I think at that point
good and evil, so you've defined two gods.
Yeah, but I think that when they're on their deathbed and they go, "Oh my God," they're not saying, "Oh my Satan," they're not saying, "Oh my devil," they're saying, "Oh my God." I think that they realize. Oh. You know, have you ever talked with anybody? Well, Bill, I'm talking to the wrong guy. What am I saying? But I had a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, who when he was sick and he ended up passing away, and I'm not going to talk about specifics, but his good wife said to me that when he was dying, he noticed in the room, he said, "Who are all these people?"
Family members.
Who are all these? Well, he didn't say that, but he said, "Who are all these people?" There was nobody in the room but his wife and himself. And so I don't know what happens at the moment. You have, without going into a long story, because we don't have the time. We're over time right now.
No, we don't have the time. And, you get tired of talking about it after a while.
Yeah, but the point is you have some experience with that. I think there's something. I think that many times God may present himself at the end of your life, and when you hear people saying, "Oh my God," maybe it's because, like I said, they're doing a deathbed conversion. Suddenly they realize there's something more than what they thought, and they better start paying attention. But anyway, we've gone way over. It's been an interesting program, a kind of a sad program, because I think we're in dire straits. I really do. I think we're in a very difficult time. I hope the country realizes just how dangerous a time we're living in, and I hope we can rectify the situation, because if we don't, we're done, you know. Anyway, I should point out, if you have an opinion, you want to express it, want to call us for any reason, our number is 833-538-7868, 833-538-7868.
Mail at itsanotherday.com, mail at jimandbill.com, and jimandbill@mail.com. We have too many emails for me to keep up with.
Yeah, doing a good job, though. Yeah, I noticed that this time you just sailed right through it. You must have really called
Yeah. I've tripped over it a few times, but this time I didn't. There's only one thing left to do.
Yeah, I know what that is. Can we, in your most eloquent voice, can you give us our ending?
Hasta la vista, baby. We're out of here.
This is CRN America.